listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, good morning, church.
Amen.
Yeah, I always look forward to sharing on a Sunday morning when I have the occasion to do so. So we're on this theme for the month of December on peace. Have you heard of this technology? It's called anti-noise. It's new to me. It's designed to reduce environmental noise. It neutralizes unwanted sound. I know some of you parents might be thinking, I want that at home. I don't think it's cheap. This is what I read about it in part. Noise is basically a pressure wave. Anti-noise is the mirror image of that wave. On equal and opposite vibrations, 180 degrees off, out of phase with the noise to be blocked. When noise and anti-noise collide, they interact with what is called destructive interference. Are you catching all this? Canceling each other out. So you got like airport baggage handlers now wearing these headphones with this technology equipped to help them. Cancels out offending sounds, and the result is pretty much silence. You know, airplanes, you've got these certain Bose headphones that's on the same kind of technology there. So it sounds somewhat peaceful that when you can bring yourself in from all the noise and distraction from even a working environment that could be harmful, getting away from the kids or traffic. But I don't know about you, I have found it challenging to find lasting peace on a continual basis. I can find it at times when I dig for it, like going after some gold nuggets in a mountain. You got to search it out. You got to dig for it. And so it's just rare to find people today in our culture who are truly at peace. Does that make sense? I think so. How about you? With themselves, with God, with one another. And those are the three areas that we're looking at in these next 3 weeks. About 700 years before the very first Christmas, so about 2,700 years ago, Isaiah, the prophet, he said that the Savior of the world was going to come. And he says this in Isaiah 9:6, "A child has been born for us, and God has given us a son, and he will be called," say it, "the Prince of Peace." 700 years before that happened, he says this, he prophesies this. And at that first Christmas, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those on whom his favor rests." Pastor Steve talked about that verse and expounded upon it last week. That's the correct translation. And peace to those who find favor, on whom his favor rests. Not everybody finds that peace because they don't have God's favor. Why don't they have God's favor? It just isn't automatic. It's something you must seek out. You must seek out the Lord. So you have Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, prophesies this. And you have the angels announcing on the night, let's say, of his appearing. And then Jesus, after 3 years, as he's prepping his disciples, as he's readying them for his departure, his crucifixion, and they won't understand this, of course. And he says in John 14, he says, "I'm giving you the gift of peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. I'm giving that to you." It's basically saying it can't be found like in a bottle or a pill or a religion. The kind of peace I'm giving you only comes from being connected to me. So as we're closing out 2017, as we move into 2018, the Lord, he desires for me, he desires for you to embrace his peace. And what a great reminder at this time of the year that our Prince of Peace really wants us to be a people of peace. Last Sunday evening, Leilani and I were at Mercer Island Presbyterian Church. Our son-in-law, Kurt, he's the worship pastor at Sammamish Presbyterian Church. So Kurt, my son-in-law, along with our daughter, his wife, and their son, our grandson, you don't have to, like you can put that together yourself, I know you can. And a few other choice musicians put on this ministry musical called Behold the Lamb of God, and it was awesome. And so the pastor, who was a woman, came up, and she was just awesome. She greeted us, and I grew up kind of in the Presbyterian Church, you know, when I went. And so the Presbyterian Church, I mean, there's two really branches now to the Presbyterian. There's one that's quite liberal, one that's quite conservative. But one thing I loved what she said, I want you all to stand, and I want you to turn to one another and look each other in the face, shake each other's hand, and say, peace be unto you. So you know what I want you to do this morning? I want you to stand up. Come on, you Presbyterians. This will make you a Presbyterian. Turn to somebody, shake their hand, look at them, and say, peace be unto you. All right. You sound like a bunch of Presbyterians. That is awesome. Okay, now you sound like Pentecostals. You just sit down when you're done with that. You don't keep talking. Presbycostal, I guess. So as I said, there's like these three categories of peace that Pastor Steve wanted us to consider. Peace with God, that's a spiritual peace. Affects everything else, doesn't it? Having peace with God. Then there's peace within, which I'm going to be talking about this morning, emotional peace. And then peace with others. Pastor Matt will be sharing on that, relational peace. When you have peace with God, and you have that relationship in right standing, the peace of God can grow. It's not automatic, but it can grow in our life, and we're more apt to have peace with one another. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God, what? Rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's inside you. It's eternal, internal, and it's an emotional thing. So whatever kind of issue you're facing, there's a kind of peace for that. I came across this, and I want to just read these off to you. I love it. Whatever problem you have, God has a corresponding peace. Do you identify with any of these? For those with a broken heart, He gives a comforting peace. For those with a confused mind, He gives us a guiding peace. When we fret, when we worry, He can give us a reassuring peace. You got a financial problem, a physical problem, a bitterness problem? God's peace can well up inside you if you allow Him to do that and bring calm in that particular storm. So let's get into the heart of this. I see three things that we kind of have to do for the peace of the Lord to rule in our lives. You know, first, you have to allow the Lord to rule. He's not going to force Himself upon you. He won't force His peace upon you. We have to allow Him. So the first thing I want us to consider is this. You must experience a moment of clarity, an epiphany, if you will. I hope that happens. Every pastor hopes that happens in every service. On Sundays, our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would speak to you, that there would be this epiphany, that there would be this clarity that takes place in your spirit when the pastor says something, or when there's a particular point being made, or maybe it's the whole sermon, maybe it's just one aspect, and you get this aha moment. That needs to happen. Specifically, if you want the Lord's peace to rule in your life. That happened to me in the spring of 1969. That's when I came to the Lord. Leaving my junior year in high school, going through the summer, being discipled, and coming back into my senior year. And we were a AA school, so we were kind of small. And I was kind of on the fringe. I was kind of with the popular gang, but not quite. But I was enough. And I had a pretty filthy mouth. I wasn't a believer. In fact, you know, I was very typical of thinking Christians were sissies, and I was just, you know, looking for attention and trying to be a big guy and just in high school. And so I had such a change in my life. And I remember even going to bed at night because I wasn't really academically inclined. I just didn't have the inclination. And I'd worry about finals or worry about a test. I would, time and again, I would. And when I came to Christ, and when I totally surrendered, this aha moment really came, and who I was, and who I was in Christ. And I listened to the messages, and I came to the altar, and my life had changed. It was a drastic change. My mouth changed. My attitude changed. My grades changed. Sports changed. Everything changed. I had this moment of clarity. And honestly, I can tell you, one of the main things that stands out to me, and this is why I'm sharing this with you, is that I had this overwhelming peace that took charge in my life. My anxiety absolutely left. And I can remember before, when we're getting ready for a football game on a Friday night, and we're sitting in there, I used to just be in knots and worrying, and it's, you know, it's probably pretty typical. But I can certainly remember, you know, in September, October, November, getting ready for Friday night, I had this real peace. I was calm. It was just this whole thing changed in my life. It changed in my life. And I found, though, as I've grown in Christ, you start taking that kind of peace for granted, and it can subside. And I'm thinking, now, how come I've lost that? Why is that missing? And you know why? Because of all the cares and all the stuff in life that come in and cloud your clarity. And it's all in front of you, and you've got to get rid of that. You've got to move it away so you can see clearly now who God is, who you are in Christ. A moment of clarity. And that happens so easily with us. We can just fill up this season, fill up our life with stuff. I do, you have. You know, the very first Christmas, some of the main characters it come to mind, I think they had a moment of clarity too. Joseph had this moment of clarity in a dream, didn't he? When the angel came and spoke to him, and he gave him this clear picture of what really is taking place. I mean, Joseph thought, this was what's happening with Mary, and I'm going to just have to quietly, you know, put her aside. And the angel says, no, here's the clear picture. And Joseph had this peace. He had this assurance. I can get through this. Thank you. Mary had this moment of clarity when she finally understood what the word of the Lord was saying to it. And, you know what? Yes. Let it be to me, Lord, your will. She had this moment of clarity, and this peace came upon her. You can say the same with Elizabeth. She had this moment of clarity. And then even years later, the Apostle Paul, he says it this way in Ephesians 1:18. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand, you can see the confident hope God has given you. That's clarity. That's clarity. And when you have hope, peace is a part of that, don't you think? You know, you can live your life for so many years at a certain level, the RPMs, the red line, it says, well, that's normal. And then you get down, you know, to about 2,500 RPMs, something's wrong. Oh, what's wrong? It's called normal. You know, it's normal. That's what's wrong. And we've been running and running and doing at such a high level, and then we burn out. We don't have the peace, and we think that's not what's your normal, but it's not the normal that God designed you to live. I've been there, so have you. In a moment of clarity, you can realize there's a better way. Even as a believer, I'm just saying it's so easy to go through years and then you just start accumulating stuff. Just like, you know, when we came over here from Kingston, I got rid of a lot of stuff. In fact, some stuff I regret getting rid of, you know. Like, where is this? Oh, I think I got rid of it. But, we're not going to start accumulating things. Guess what we're doing? You know, our garage is getting full again. You know, why do we do that? Because it's important. I got to have that. Maybe I'll use it, you know, whatever. And that happens in our life, and it can affect us spiritually as well. We just start accumulating things, and then things can get between us and the Lord, and we need clarity. We need to get rid of some stuff. Okay, we need to get rid of some stuff. sometimes you think you can just do it better than the Lord. I mean, Isaiah said this. He says, if only you had paid attention to my commands. If only. My daddy would say, if is a little word with what? A big meaning. Think about it. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have flowed like a river. Your peace would have flowed like the Big Muddy. Just, it was there. Mississippi, whatever. The Hudson River, whatever. The Columbia River, let's say that. Would have flowed like a river. Your well-being like the waves of the sea. Wow. If only. Lord, give us clarity. Give me clarity. Second thing, I must express an attitude of humility. A couple months ago, or a month or so ago, Pastor Steve was bringing that up, and how we need to be people of humble means, copying our Lord, taking on the servant attitude that Jesus had. James says, God opposes the prideful, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And that's the engine that helps you to move toward having more peace. Exchange your vanity for his serenity, let's say. Exchange your anxiety for his tranquility. Quit trying to control everything. We're all controllers to some degree here. And quit seeking self-satisfaction and so much significance. Years ago, I came across the Serenity Prayer, and I thought it was kind of shallow. How many know what I'm talking about with the Serenity Prayer? Oh, the Serenity Prayer. Oh, it wasn't that nice. And I just, you know, it might have been 30 years ago I came across it, and I thought, well, that's just kind of a trite thing. But as I've gone through some stuff in my life, and there's some things I can't control, like I think I should control, guess how this prayer's been looking to me. It's like, that's a pretty good prayer. It was written by a pastor in the 1930s and then adopted and popularized by Alcoholics Anonymous and another 12-step program. So let me read it to you. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And that's, you can preach on that, and you can meditate on that right there. Continuing on, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Christ did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. And this is my favorite part, and it chokes me up when I read it. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. I love that. You know what our problem is? We want to be supremely happy right now, and I'm going to control things so I can be significant and supremely happy. That's where the stress comes in. I love this prayer, so we may be reasonably happy. And we Americans, we just want to pursue happiness and self all the time. I don't think it's just us Americans. I think that's mankind. Now, you are significant, but let God work that significance out. Don't you try to control it. Because you lose the peace when you try that and you work at that. I have. Isaiah 26:12 says, Lord, grant us peace, for all we have and all we are has come from you. I mean, that's the reality of it, isn't it? You know, I can find peaceful moments, locations, hikes, but only God can grant real peace as I find his favor. As I find his favor. And I'm sure that many of you have had a pretty rough year. Some of you have had a pretty rough year. Maybe even right now experiencing unrest in your home or your body. Going through a tough time right now. I've seen a lot of tragedy, not just as a pastor, but as a chaplain for the police and fire over 30 years now. Now again, doing this in Seattle. And you come upon scenes that, you know, they call a chaplain when there's been a bad deal, thing happen. You know, I've had four of the last calls the last month of a death, of course. And over my 30 years, from little children to infants to suicide, teenage suicides, and you're there on the scene. You're not, I mean, you're there within 30 minutes to 45 minutes after the scene. And of course there's unrest. Of course there's turmoil. There's horror taking place. And we try to do some follow-up. I've noticed a pattern and that people that have got a deep faith in Christ, of course it's horrific and there's stress and there's shock. But over time, there's a difference that takes over with Christ followers during very tough times. And because the Lord has promised to give us this peace that passes understanding. And I cannot imagine if something happened to a loved one, you're not going to be peaceful at that moment. But over time, and you find God's presence and peace to take root. That's just promised. You know, there's times I've broken down. There's times I've had to pull over before going back home, and I've lost it. And now there's required what's called defusing and debriefing. Defusing is like a few guys or gals and guys, first responders, meeting for a few minutes afterward. That's for a short defusing time. Then there's many times the required debriefing time, maybe a few days later. And some show up for that, some don't, even though it should be required. But because we're all fragile, all first responders, and not in you. We all break. We're all broken. And there's times that I will, the family permits me to pray. I mean, I've got to be, you know, you walk into a situation, you look around and see, you know, are these people Buddhist? Are they Catholic? Are they non-believers? Are they, you kind of listen and you're just there. And then over time, allow the Holy Spirit to help. And many times I'll ask, may I pray with you? Or have a moment of silence. And most of the time people are always open. You don't take advantage and try to abuse that. But I usually pray for God's peace that they can't conjure up, they can't understand. Lord, will you just show yourself? And I believe that takes place. And God's letting himself be known in situations that are tragic. It's a humbling thing. That's our point. Number two, when you're faced with death of a loved one or yourself, it's humbling. You don't have control like you think you do. Or you want. So just give up. You'll be more peaceful. Thirdly, I must expect Jesus to help me. Just expect that. Call upon him. Jesus said, he says, come to me, Matthew 11, all you who are tired and worn out from carrying heavy loads. Are you tired of carrying heavy loads? Come to me and I will give you rest. Basically, he's saying rest for your soul. And that's deeper than physical rest. That's soul rest. Your problem, my problem is stress. It's not physical activity. We need more physical activity. It's mental stress. We have the overworked mind, overworked emotions. I need internal rest, and so do you. You know, going on a vacation, going to Hawaii, going to a movie, that's going hiking, that's okay. That helps. But here's the problem with that, right? Wherever you go, there you are. You're taking yourself with you. That's what I found out, at least. Right? And then you start thinking about, and it might take a few days for you to come down, and then yeah, usually even a few days when the vacation's coming to an end, I'm coming back, and so it's like, okay, really, my vacation time's only like that. It's not like that, because I'm thinking of this, and I'm thinking of that, on both sides of it. So that's okay. But the kind of rest that we can rely upon, and we should expect, and we should call upon the Lord for, is the rest that he's talking about. He's the Prince of Peace. He's called for us to, he's asked for us to call upon him, right? And Paul, again, we refer back to Paul, He picks up that thought, you know, years later when Christ told this to his disciples. He picks this up in Philippians 4, a very well-known scripture. And you know, this is like one of the all-time interesting statements in the Bible. And Paul says this in Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything. Okay, really? Seriously? Don't be anxious about anything. But you know what? If you stop there, it doesn't make sense. But really, he goes on to say, instead, pray about everything. So there is this thought, there's this concern, there is this worry, and so immediately turn that anxiety and that worry into praying. Because that's the formula that helps lead to peace. Listen to what he says here. He says, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That is just so awesome. Don't be anxious about anything. Keep reading. Instead, pray about everything with thanksgiving. Then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, a person who has cancer, is fighting cancer, and let's say it's been arrested, and it's in remission, they can be so thankful. You know, that's a praise report. But let's say there's somebody that, for whatever reason, God is not healing them, like they want to be healed, or think they should be healed, but they say to you, and I've experienced this with people in hospitals, and so have you, they'll say, you know what? Everything's okay. I have this peace in my heart. I can't understand it. It's nothing I've conjured up. That's from the Lord. That's the peace that passes understanding. That's the difference. Now, I believe in prayer, and I want to see people healed. But if it's a situation with an illness, if it's something with finances, if it's something in your relationship, if it's something at work, or just all the stuff that you got going on, expect Jesus to respond and to answer. So we need a moment of clarity. Maybe many moments of clarity, don't we? We need to be humble. We need to expect Jesus to respond. And how do you find that? Have you ever heard of Susanna Wesley, Charles and John Wesley's mother? Early 18th century, you've heard of Charles and John Wesley, brought millions to Christ with their influence over the decades and centuries. Well, Susanna Wesley was married to quite the guy. She gave birth to 19 children. 9 died in infancy. And she was married to this man who couldn't manage money. They disagreed on almost everything, from money to politics. And her husband would even leave her for many days at a time to raise the kids. You know, that was woman's work, right? Quite a guy. Quite a catch. One of their children was crippled. Another couldn't talk until he was nearly 6. Susanna was sick much of the time herself and always had a struggle to bring food on the table. How do you think a person like that finds rest or peace? She had this thing, and this is documented from her sons, Charles and John Wesley. She would tell her children this: when you see Mama sitting in the corner on the stool with her apron over her head, that's my quiet time with the Lord. That's my time of peace and quiet. I may not have been quiet. Don't disturb me. She did what she only knew how to do. She couldn't abandon those kids. That's how she found some peace and solitude in prayer with the Lord. You've got to work at it. You've got to dig for that golden nugget. What do you need to do? You need to do something. You need to have a point of clarity. Humble yourself and expect the Lord to respond because he wants to. I hope it's not that bad with you. I don't think it is. So, Lonnie, can you come on up? So let's conclude with this. 2 things. And I want to open these altars up, and in a few moments I'll call down our prayer team to stand and be ready to pray with those that really are seeking. Let's just keep it to the theme of peace, like, within, with others, with God. Just keep it within that theme. I'm sure many will want to respond. You've got to come near to Jesus, don't you? You've got to come near to Jesus. Coming here, walking out to the front, it's doing something. It's making a statement to yourself and really to the Lord. And it's through the person of Jesus to come near to him, nearer to him, to come to him. And then allow Jesus, secondly, to change you. Last verse. Prophet Isaiah, back to him. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Because he trusts in you. Are you tired of just being stressed out all the time? Living with constant anxiety? Real peace is available. And you may have been a Christian for years and years, and you've let things just kind of build up, and you've gotten used to it, and this is normal. It's not the way normal God wants it to be for you or for me. You weren't made to live under that kind of stress. I'm going to ask the prayer team if they would come up right now. And I'm going to lead us all in prayer. You can pray this in your mind as I'm praying out loud. And you can just say, me too, Lord, or you can repeat after me, however you want to do this. Dear God, you know the anxiety that's in my life. You even know the fears that are deep in me that I may not even be aware of. Jesus, you say you're the Prince of Peace and you're coming to give the gift of peace that only you can give. Lord, I need it. I want it. So I want to take these steps, Lord. I pray that you will flood my heart with light so that I can see things as they really are. Help me, God, to see you as you really are, not as I've imagined you. Lord, I need clarity. Help me to see myself as you see me. Help me to see problems through your eyes, through your faith in me. Lord, so I'm expressing this morning an attitude of humility. I come to you. I come to you, Lord. I need help. Lord, you promised to rescue those who are humble and repent of their sins. So, Lord, I come to you and say, I need a Savior. Lord, will you forgive me my sins? Will you cleanse me? Will you make me brand new? As much as I know how, I surrender myself to your Lordship. Help me with your Holy Spirit to continue that. Teach me how to stop worrying and to turn that into praying as the Apostle Paul has directed. So right now, Lord, I'm saying I want to trust you with my life. I rededicate my life. Lord, as we close out this year of 2017 and move into 2018, Lord, I want to start afresh with your peace and your hope. Thank you that you just didn't come to earth to be a little baby, but you stayed, you taught, you healed, you died on the cross for my sins. I humbly pray these things. In the powerful name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ.